21. Psalm 121. I can't say stand with me when you got it, so I know you got it. You're already standing, so. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? Isn't that a wonderful passage? Just to start out with, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this glorious day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us to live and to serve you. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all of our sins and shortcomings and everywhere that we have failed you, maybe even in doing what you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord, that if we do confess our sins, if we're in agreement that our sin is sin, as you say that it is, if we confess that, that you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we can't have any hindrances between us and heaven tonight as we come together as your church corporately to lift up our prayers of thanksgiving and praise and adoration as well as our requests. There are so many things that need to be done, Lord, that we can't do anything about. We're able to come before you. You are able to do anything. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for your word that you have given us and preserved. And Father, we pray that, as we opened it up this evening, that you'd speak to our hearts in a very personal and powerful and maybe even a profound way. We pray, Lord, that you would remove anything that might distract us, because we know, heaven knows, how chaotic this world is. And Father, we've come into this place of sanctuary, and we thank you for the calm and the peace that we have while we're here. And Father, we pray that you would be with your humble servants, Pastor Jeremy and myself. We give ourselves to you as living sacrifices. Make us holy and acceptable to you. Fill us with your Spirit and help us to say what you want us to say. Help us, Lord, to hear what we need to hear. All of us. Prepare us, Lord, to come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. But thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, most of all. It's his name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. You're welcome. Thank you. Remember, I mentioned last week that the next several psalms are actually songs of ascent. That the children of Israel would be singing as they go to the Temple Mount. So, look at this particular one here in that way. A song of ascent. They are ascending to the temple. Now, the temple's on Mount Zion. It's up high. If you have pilgrims migrating to the temple, worshipers coming to worship at the temple, they can see the temple afar off the mount. They may be able to see other mountains as well. Look what this says. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. There's other mountain ranges there besides Zion. There's Horeb and others. So there's mountain ranges there. There's mountains there. But the one that's the most important is Mount Zion. Now, it's really interesting the way this is stated. You don't get this particular way in the King James. There's nothing wrong with King James. I'm just saying this is posed as a question, and that's the way it needs to be. Posed as a question. Do you know that in our society, in our world, there are a lot of people and there are a lot of books. There's all kinds of things that are labeled help. If you need help with something, just Pastor Andy, just get online. If you need help with a question or whatever, can you believe everything that's on the computer? Yeah, that's what some people think. You can believe it all. No, you can't. But there is help available across the board with anything that you need, right? I know that since I got that iPad and I got on the internet, I really didn't want to, but I did, it's come in helpful with automotive questions that I have, stuff that I've not run across before, and ask a question, get an answer, or at least get some kind of an idea. I've run across some questions automotive-wise that there's not even an answer on the computer. So, but it'll give me a direction to go in that I could pursue it otherwise. But there's just so many, there's so much information out there for humanity's help. Help! Right? Help? Is there anybody out there, human-wise, that can secure your salvation? No. Is there a human being out there anywhere that can cure cancer? No. Love you guys. Have a lovely evening. Thank you very much, Pastor Andy and Miss Jenny. But no, there's not anybody, no human being out there that can cure cancer. There's a lot of other catastrophic things. Is there anybody, a human being out there that can heal a broken heart? How about a broken spirit? No. Well, see, there is help that's needed that's really extremely valuable that you can't get from the world. Oh, they have things that you can do, drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it might be to try to calm you down, but they can't heal it. Now, look at this in the mindset of a believer, not a lost person in the world that has no hope whatsoever, but as someone that their Father is God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of the universe, that is able to do anything. Nothing's impossible for him. And then you throw out this question as you look upon the mountains and ask the question, from whence comes my help? That's what it says in the King James. From whence cometh my help? But it's not a question form. It's a statement. In the NAS, it's got a big old question mark there. Because that's the way it should be. It should be asked as a question. My eyes are looking up. I'm looking up. Have you ever done that at night? Go outside and look up, and you're just, you've got to say something to God. You just have to, because it is so miraculous what you're looking at, and you know that this earth is just a pea, a speck in this vast expanse of a universe. And God created it, is sovereign over it, and maintains and sustains all of it, and has from the very beginning. We're just a speck, and he would regard us. Did you know that we are the only ones that are created in His likeness and image. Out of the expanse of the universe, there's none like the human race. We are created in His likeness and image. Cannot be said about anything else. We are, as Pastor Andy has put it several times, we are His prized possession and creation. Now, when I sin, I can't hardly see how that could be possible, and I think you'd understand exactly what I mean. But the facts are the facts. That's what God tells us. In spite of ourselves. God can love us in spite of how bad we are. Can you wrap your mind around that? I can't wrap my mind around. I know what the Scripture says. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It'll probably be more meaningful for us because He paid that penalty way back 2,000 years ago. We're in the here and now, but even while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. I tell you what, we live in a world that's got a lot of trouble going on. Jesus addressed it long ago. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again because we need to hear it. He said, and He's the God of the universe, in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we live in this world, as chaotic as it is, it's filled with hatred, anguish, despair, sickness and disease, pain and suffering. I can't look to this world for an answer to life's dilemmas. Whatever's going on, I cannot look to this world. It has no answers. And the older I get and the closer to God I get, the more I understand that. You know what I mean? I look to the mountains. And the King James, it says hills. The question is, where does my help come from? And the psalmist is so good because his heart is after our own heart, or our heart is after his own heart. And he says in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. There isn't anybody else, Brother Eldon, that can help. Brother Tom, there's nobody else that can help. You know, we have these prayer services and we have these prayer lists that we have every week. It's got all these specific things that are on there. There's not a thing we can do about, we can't help the situation ourselves at all. There's not a thing we can do. But the God that we serve is able to do whatever needs to be done. And I told you, I know that the people that are not here tonight live in the same world I do. It's just as catastrophic. So I don't understand why they're not here. Because we need to be tied into heaven and lifting up a request to the Lord on behalf of others, if not for ourselves. But that's the world we live in. It's the world we live in. It's the church we're tied to. One day, prayer is going to be extremely important, but I fear it's going to be too late. Yes, sir? I don't have an answer to that question. Oh, I have my own thoughts, but my thoughts don't really count. It's their relationship with God, if they have one. That's what makes the difference. If you have one with the Lord, you know where you need to be. Now, there's some people that just can't help it. They got to work. I understand that. That's not a problem. But for the most part, I don't think everybody's working. I just don't think they are, but that's neither here nor there. We need to pray for them. That's the reason I said we need to pray for each other. That Colossians 1:9-14 prayer for everyone, because it'll cover all of those issues. Covers all of that. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, that right there distinguishes who we're talking about. It's not just someone. It's the one who has created and sustained the heavens and the earth. He is our help. Now, I could go off on a little bit of a tangent here, and I would like to address this right straight to the ladies. And that is, for some reason or other, even in the ranks of Christendom or within the church, ladies are made to feel sub, less than. There's a lot. You must submit. You know that. The Word of God says you must submit to your husband. Yeah, well, the man must submit too. Right? The man submits to the woman's need. The woman submits to the man's lead. That's the way it was designed. But it's obvious that the woman completed makes the man complete. Since God looked on Adam and everyone else had a mate, all the creation did except for Adam, God saw he was alone. He wasn't complete. So he created Eve from Adam. It made him whole. In some texts, when a woman is referred to as being the completeness of the man, the word physician comes up. What does a physician do? Heals, makes whole. That's what a physician does. Well, that's what a woman does with a man, makes him whole. Now, their offices are totally different. But it makes everything complete, makes it work together. And it's really interesting. In Genesis, God told Adam that he would make a help, or in King James, it's help meet, M-E-T-E, which means suitable for, a helper, someone is suitable to. Okay. God refers to the woman as a helper. Look how many times God is referred to in the same way. Whence comes my help? There's nothing wrong with being a helper, ladies. Not one thing. It's a very high place to be a helper. Tell you what, there'd be a bunch of companies out there that'd be in a sorry state of affairs if they didn't have good help. Helpers are very important. I just thought that out there, just a little extracurricular stuff. So God thinks you're really important. He aligns you with himself as a helper. God is our helper. He says, whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. I know that a lot of times I've skated on thin ice. Yeah. Skated on thin ice. I don't think that's exactly what he's talking about. But the thing of it is, with the world in which we live, with all the enticements, with all the tests and the temptations and all, it's pretty easy to slip up, to slip, to fall. It's easy to do that. But if we have our focus on God, we have our focus on His Word, we pay attention to our guide, which is the Holy Spirit, who's leading us in the way that we need to go, teaches us all things, guides us into all truth, brings to our remembrance those things that God has said, His Word. He brings all that stuff to us. And His Word tells us that we need to think a certain way. Those things are honest and true, just, pure, lovely, good report, excellent, praiseworthy. We need to think on those things. So God teaches us the way we need to think and how we need to live, how we need to do, who needs to be leading, and who needs to be following. See, if I don't follow my own lead, and I follow the Lord's lead, which way is going to get me where I need to be? Not following my way, it's going to be God's way. That's what's going to make it. So, He will not allow your foot to slip. God will not allow it. As long as we're allowing Him to lead us, He will not allow us to slip off into a sin or whatever. He who keeps you. Now that is an interesting word, like I said. A lot of times that thing, you can interchange that with guard. Guard. Keep. Guard. He who keeps you or guards you will not slumber. You know, there's a reference back to Kings about Elijah when he took on those 800 prophets of Baal. And the children of Israel was following an ungodly king, and he just come up and said, "Hey, you want to know whose God is God? Let's have a little test. You pick out the best sacrificial animal. You build your altar. I'll let you go first. You can make the first choice. You can pick the best of the best. And then you call out to your God. I'll call out to my God. Whoever answers by fire, he's God." Of course, you all know the story. The prophets of Baal, they picked the best animal. They built the best altar. And they called out to their God all day long. It got to the point where they was in a cotton-picking frenzy. They was committing suicide on the altar. Said they was cutting themselves, blood going everywhere. I can't think of anything else other than they just committing suicide. And, of course, Elijah, he couldn't pass up favorite human pastimes to make fun of them. I don't think that was the right thing to do. But he did. He made fun of them. Well, perhaps your God's asleep. Slumbering. Slumbering. It says here, he who keeps you, guards you, will not slumber. But that's what he said. Perhaps he's asleep, or he's busy, or he's here or there, and he don't hear you. So maybe you should yell even louder. But we know that nothing happened. And then it was his turn. He took the sacrificial animal, put it on the altar, dug a ditch around it, filled it, poured water, kept pouring water on that sacrifice, on the wood and everything else until it filled the ditch up. And then he called out to God. Fire came from heaven, and it says it was so hot that it not only consumed the sacrifice and the altar, but it evaporated all the water that was in the trench. That's a pretty hot fire. And the people believed. It turned them back. But the fact is, he don't sleep. He's never too busy to hear the faintest cry. Never. He's always there. Have you ever wanted to talk to somebody really bad and you couldn't get hold of them? Oh my goodness, I've been there lots of times. Man, I wish I could talk to my mom sometimes or my dad. That'd be nice. But they're where they need to be. They're with the Lord, so. One day I'll be able to talk to them again. But do you ever have a need to talk to somebody about something that's of utmost importance and you can't get a hold of the person? Well, our Heavenly Father can always get a, you can always get a hold of Him. He's never too busy. He's never asleep. He's always ready, willing, and able to hear what we've got to say. Like I said, that's one thing about prayer. It gives us an opportunity to get things off our chest. It always feels better when you can talk. Get it off your chest. That's why God gives us prayer. So we can get it off our chest. He who keeps you, who guards you, will not slumber. Behold. What that means is look. There must be something obvious here. Behold. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I think there's a message there for us. Do you know that right now the nation of Israel is about the size of New Jersey? Do you know how powerful the nation of Israel is? Do you have any idea? She don't even know how powerful she is. She's got the living God watching over her. The one who sustains the universe. Do you know how many times, how many large nations has threatened to annihilate the nation of Israel through the centuries? And they've never been able to do it. Behold, that's for us. Behold, he who keeps Israel, you know that tiny nation, will neither slumber nor sleep. And he's kept her from her inception until this very day. That's the God we serve. He's not too busy. He's not in some faraway place where he can't hear. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. You ask my wife about that. When I used to drive a truck, I come home. She wants to talk. You get me near bed, and you're not going to talk for very long. I'm going to be snoring. I know that's not probably the thing to do, but when you're tired, and you get to get in your own bed after you've been out, yeah, that's what you do. You slumber. She wants to talk, and that's a good thing. But true enough. I probably extended asking your forgiveness many times on that score. But we get tired. God don't get tired. We get in a slumbering state, but God don't get there where he can't hear. He's half in and half out. No. He's never in a place where he don't know what's going on, because he knows everything about everything. He knows exactly what's going on in every millisecond, everywhere in this universe. Look at verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. You know, with that guarding and the protection and the sustaining power of God, it's kind of all wrapped into one thing here. The Lord is the one who keeps you. Everything that you need, everything that's necessary for your survival, for your benefit, for whatever it is that's going on in your life, the Lord is in charge of all of that. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord is your shade. You know, when you are in the hot sun in the middle of the summer, we're usually searching for shade, especially when we own a fishing boat. We're looking for some shade. Shade feels real good. Your right hand is your PowerPoint. It's looking at human ability and power. Just like God's right hand. When the Bible talks about God's right hand, it's talking about all authority and power. When it talks about our right hand, it's talking about our power. How powerless, really, are we against the things that threaten us? Like sickness and disease, violence of any kind. I mean, really, how powerless are we? How powerless are we against the sun? Sun's pretty powerful, isn't it? I guarantee you could find a shade somewhere, it'll cook you. Left in it long enough. No, you have no strength, no power to overcome what the sun can do. God says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. He's the one that preserves your power. Just the regular human ability that we have, God is the one who protects that. Our own abilities that he's given us. He's the shade on our right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. And I know that sounds, how in the world would the moon smite you? Well, you can't see near as well at night, can you? But I don't think that's what it's talking about at all. I think what it's talking about is, day or night, you're under the protective hand of God. It don't make any difference. You see, the thing of it is, I can't see things that are in the dark. Now, there's some animals that can see it at night, just like it's daytime. But we are not that way. To put another little twist on it, if you read Psalm 91, it gives reference to this. Can you see germs? Can you see disease? Things that cause disease, can you see that? No. But God knows it's there. And He says, I'll protect you from that. In so many words, that's what He says. Because He can. He's over everything. Every disease has to submit to the authority of God. Nothing is more powerful than God. Sin does not overpower God. I'm glad of that. Because He conquered sin. It took His life, and He took it back again. Proving that He has power over sin. And death. And the devil. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. We are protected day and night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. See, you know that's what He's talking about. The Lord will protect you from all evil. It don't make any difference what time of day or night it is. He will keep your soul. Again, that word soul sometimes is aligned with life. He'll keep your life. He'll guard your life. But you know we all have a soul that's going to reside, all of us, or it's going to reside with the Lord forever. God is able to keep that, to guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, no matter where you go. See, it's not just day or night, but then He has to tell you, give you all the in-between stuff. It's when you go in or you come out, or you come out or you go in, no matter where you go. If you decide you want to go to North Korea, I guess He'll protect you. I wouldn't advise going. I'm just trying to make a point. Doesn't matter where you go. Yes. Yes. If He wanted you there, I reckon He'll get you there and He'll keep you there, you know. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. Listen to this. Not just in this life, but forever. In the life to come. That's what it says. From this time forth and forever. So, do we have anything to worry about as the people of God? No. Because the Lord is protecting every aspect of our life, no matter where we are, at any time of the day or night, wherever we go. So how does all that we read, how does that benefit us? That wasn't exactly what I was looking for. How does it benefit us? Yes, sir. What's that? No, but what do? We worry about stuff. We worry about stuff. Why? This is telling us, you're right, we have nothing to worry about. But inevitably and invariably, we will be worrying about something. Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't worry about, I'm paraphrasing, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He will see to it that you have it. Again, in another place, you don't have to worry about anything. Absolutely. Yeah. That's not worst case from a human standpoint. It is, but in reality, it's the best thing that could ever happen. We're blessed as the people of God. Extremely blessed. Because we can look at that mountain at any time and call out to the God of the universe, who is our Father. At any time, any place. And we have the guarantee that He will hear and answer us. Like I said, I know there's a lot of stuff in all of our lives that needs to be addressed, and the lives of other people. Stuff that we can't do anything about. But we can bring it before our Heavenly Father, who does care. He does care about what goes on in our life and the lives of other people. I think a lot of times He wants to know how much we care. You know what I'm saying? Do we care enough to come to His house on a Wednesday night and listen to His word and have His word speak to our hearts and prepare us to come before His throne of grace? We care enough about other people that we would do that? Apparently not. Yet these ones right here do. But for the most part, apparently not. That's the reason we need to pray all the more for the ones that are not here. That, what's that? Anybody have anything to add to that? Or any questions? No, I know. I know. Exactly. And how, pray tell, did it get that way? See, the church has the word of life to hold forth. You can hold it forth literally like this, or you can hold it forth with your life. For people to see. And when things aren't right, say something about it. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's, according to the book, this is the way it's supposed to be. But nobody regards the instruction manual. They don't give it any regard whatsoever. So that's the reason why, and the church don't even regard it. I mean, as a whole. That's the reason why things are in the condition that they're in. I mean, if you can't get people to come on the prayer meeting night, I mean, they know it's prayer meeting night, and how important prayer is. I guarantee if somebody's got a big problem, they're going to be on their knees wherever they're at, at their house or whatever, a big catastrophic problem comes up, I guarantee you, they're going to be on their knees. Our nation's in a sorry state of affairs. Our church is in a sorry state of affairs. We need to take the opportunity to be on our knees. It's just that simple. Anyone else?